98.1 KZE. It's Tasting Tuesdays time, and we're going to get to my special guest, Richard Yee, from the Brooklyn Cider House in just a moment, but Tasting Tuesdays is sponsored in part by Taste New York Market at Todd Hill on the Taconic Parkway. Discover a wide array of products sourced regionally in the heart of the Hudson Valley, just 10 miles north of I-84. Also sponsored by Shawgunk Wine Trail. 14 wineries, cideries, and distilleries offering events, tours, and tastings. Find out more at gunkswine.com. By Kingston Implant Center, offering computer-guided dental implant placement with a 15-year implant guarantee on Broadway in Kingston. The initial consultation fee is waived for KZE listeners. Learn more at kingstonimplantcenter.com. And finally, by the South Egremont Spirit Shop, curated wines, regional spirits, and craft brews online at southegremontspirits.com. And as I mentioned, my special guest today is Richard Yee from the Brooklyn Cider House. This is at Twin Star Orchards in New Paltz. And let me just read a drop about Richard. Let's see, after providing his mettle as a winemaker in Napa Valley, and the California Central Coast, Richard returned to New York in 2024 to lend his experience and intense passion for cider to the family business. As their head cider maker, Richard's style marries low intervention with innovative techniques to create elevated and accessible cider from the 40-plus varieties grown on their estate orchard. Richard is the glue that makes their team a true family. It only takes one conversation with him to know that. Well, let's put that to the test. Let's have one conversation. Richard Yee, welcome to Tasting Tuesdays and to KZE.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I could tell from our correspondence that it was going to be good and you're a nice guy. So
yeah.
I have no doubt. And I like cider.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. And if
me
not
too.
For anything, get one more cider fan, you know.
Exactly. One cider fan at a time, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. So first of all, let's just, like, from that little bio I read, you spent time as a winemaker in Napa?
Yeah. So I spent some time in Napa, some time in the Central Coast. I've worked even in Rioja in Spain.
Wow.
Mendoza in Argentina, up in the Finger Lakes, of course, and then in New Zealand as well. So there's this thing.
So with, like, Pinot Noirs and Sauvignons?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
And New Zealand. Wow, you're a real world traveler.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, I think coming out of college, what's a better job than being able to work different harvests and hop around all across the world, you know?
It's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, New Zealand was fantastic. The only thing was I was working night shifts. So I was working 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And
that's tough.
Yeah.
That's not natural for the body.
No.
It really takes a long time to get used to that.
Totally.
Because
totally
it really is unnatural. But tell me a little bit about Napa, too, because it's just such an intense experience. It's like maybe after France and Italy, right? It's like maybe right up there. I mean, in terms of the wine production and the quality. And, Was there a lot of pressure? Is it competitive? What's the environment like, the culture like in Napa?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed Napa because there is a certain level of intensity that comes into play there. It's similar to almost like working at a very high-end kitchen where, you know, every cut, it's not just about cutting an onion, it's about each cut of the onion needing
right.
to be exactly the same size, right? And for me, the amount of love and care that was
right.
shown, I was working at Paul Meyer at the time. It's beautiful, right?
Wow.
It's like
yeah.
a certain level of dedication to the craft, and everyone has to be like on that same page, right? It's
yeah.
not like just you, it's everybody together, and it's a very team dynamic, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, the way you describe it is it's really something like to think like it's a science, but when science becomes like art and it becomes like an emotional creative process as well, that's exciting, right?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what you're doing, right? Every time.
Oh, for sure. And
you
I
make
think
the cider.
That's exactly why I love what I'm doing, right? It's like
sure.
As a kid, I was pretty good in science, but I think it's like this beautiful balance between both understanding the science behind the actual metabolic pathways of the fermentation, but that's just baseline, right? Like that kind of science is understood by even the most basic of winemakers. It's understanding the, how do I take it to the next level? How do I constantly try to improve? I feel like it's more of a, there's a human element to that, right?
Yeah, right. Is it love?
Love, absolutely.
Right?
It's like when you're like when you're running low on energy and you've been working for the 15 hours straight, like, mm-hmm. are you willing to do that next task still at the same level because you know what it's going into? And I think for me, like, what I've always fallen in love with in regards to both the wine industry and the cider industry, it really revolves around passion. But I compare it to, like, when a grandma cooks for you, it's not about how do I make this the fastest way possible. It's about how do I make the best meal for my grandson as possible, mm-hmm. make all the sacrifices necessary, and literally pour my heart into it. And then at the end of the day, my grandma sees me take a bite of this food, like a kimchi stew or something like that, and I'm smiling and I'm giddy because it's so good.
Right.
That warms her heart. And for that, sure. that's the kind of joy that I've been kind of chasing after and pursuing in this industry.
I love that. Why is the Brooklyn Cider House in New Paltz?
That's a great question. So when my dad started the business, he really wanted to do it in Brooklyn. He was doing it out of a garage with my aunt, and they really wanted to open a spot in Brooklyn, which they did. They opened a cider house in Bushwick.
Oh, wow.
But just due to COVID and rent getting, you know, really
sure.
crazy. I mean, I feel like what's more Brooklyn than being kicked out of Brooklyn because of rent. You know?
So you guys are on Ohioville Road. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So
in New Paltz?
When we started the cidery in Brooklyn, we had already purchased our orchard in New Paltz.
Right.
We really fell in love with the idea of really creating, you know, you talked about lower intervention. Like the first cider that I poured for you is called The Raw. And what it really is based off of is it's almost like our ode to our DNA. It's one of our first ciders that we ever made. It's influenced from our own experiences and travels in San Sebastian in the Basque Country. And we fell in love with the cider. And this is what kind of flipped a switch in my dad and my aunt to be like, you know, this is what I want to make. You know, what's really great about this is that it's aged for roughly a year and a half before it actually goes into bottle, which oftentimes when you think about ciders, you're thinking about fresh and just crunchy fruit. But this is kind of a Basque style cider making is it's an ode to a tradition where before they had stainless steel tanks, before they had glycol, before they had inert gases, they were just fermenting things. And when, especially with apples, there's a thing where outside of the primary fermentation, it only has malic acid. And so when it ferments the malic acid away, it would taste kind of bad. But they realize if they let it sit long enough, it'll actually turn a little bit of its alcohol into vinegar. And so what's really great about this is that we're not selling vinegar here, right? It's not Brooklyn's
right,
vinegar
no,
house, right?
I tasted it, definitely
but
not.
It's almost like a sour beer. And what's why my dad fell in love with it was beyond just the cider, it was the pairing and the marriage with the food that they were serving, and also the culture. Like the reason why we called ourselves Brooklyn Cider House was my dad fell in love with the Basque Cider House, and he was like, "I want to bring that culture also." You know, it's not just the cider
domestically. Yeah,
yeah.
This is a really nice, and it gets better with multiple like sips.
Yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah,
like it's super refreshing.
Yeah.
Super dry.
Yeah,
has a little bit of citrusy kind of right.
Yeah.
Taste to it,
almost like grapefruity,
yeah.
a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And
what's it called again?
It's called Raw.
Raw.
Yeah.
Thank
and,
you.
And
yeah.
I guess that's this was kind of like the first cider that I wanted to pour because go ahead.
No. I was going to say it's the flagship, but no, it's not. I thought you were going to say it's the first cider you guys like invented, but
well, that too. It's both, right?
Okay.
And so it's not. I think it's something that shines even better with food, right? Because you know,
sure.
I often say like. The quintessential American cheeseburger even needs pickles, right? And so for me, it's like, as someone who loves having balance in my meal, right? Like this is it. In the Basque Country, they're not serving you a ton of pickles with their steaks or chuleta or right. tortillas and stuff that they're making. They serve cider because it's like so sour and tart. It almost like cleanses the palate.
Right. Yeah. Totally. I get it.
Yeah. And I think this was like a great starting point for us because it really ties into the influence that we have, like, or the Basque Country had on us, you know?
Yeah. Well, what's next? I mean, I know, like, in wine, you want to go smaller, but, right? Like, grow with and go into larger, bigger wines, bigger body wines. Is that kind of similar with ciders, do you think? Or is it really?
I would say so.
And what's the, like, average level of alcohol in these?
So that one, okay, so we don't add any sugar to our ciders at all. So anything that tends to be a little bit sweeter, not sweet, but just a little bit sweeter, tends to be a little bit lower in alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it ranges anywhere between 5% to 7%, more or less. This is kind of looking a little bit more at closer to 7. Yeah.
What else have you got?
Is the Fabler. So this utilizes more English varieties.
All right.
Like Dabinet, Rhode Island Greening, Binet Rouge. I guess it has some other, not just English varieties, but it kind of has like an English style where it's clean, refreshing. It doesn't have that sourness, that high note of acidity, but I would say it's
a little minerally or something.
A little bit more minerally. And yeah. Then we allow it to age in oak for a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just has a little bit of that oak influence as well.
Nice. Again, this would totally be amazing with paired with something.
Yeah.
You know, it's lovely. Yeah. Nice and smooth too.
Yeah. And there's definitely a little bit of tannins. Like when you think about ciders, you're very rarely thinking about tannin structure of body. You're thinking fruit, juice, you know, like apple forward, you know, 5% spritzy, right? Like even, but you'll notice, like I just popped that open. It's not like overly spritzy, right?
And
like
no, not at all.
And it's because.
Nor is it flat.
No. Yeah, I appreciate that. But it's really because we want to highlight the structure and mouthfeel of it, right? Like we want it to have a little bit of that softness, but also have a little bit of length in the finish, right? I think it's like probably one of the more classic ones that we make. It's a little bit cleaner in the fermentation style, but I really enjoy this one. I think for a classic dry cider, I think this is a great example for it, you know?
All right, one more here.
Yeah.
And that one again is called, the second one was called what?
Fabler. Yeah, so now we're kind of going into Richard Yee territory here. You know, my dad really loves making like classic ciders, but I wanted to make some ciders that had, a little bit of pop to them and that could reach out to the younger generation. But the next one that we're pouring is called Dance, Dance, Dance. and I think it's just to highlight the joy of drinking something like this in the summertime, you know?
Absolutely. Do you have a tasting room, I'm assuming?
Yes, we do have a tasting room. We're doing some tours. We're showcasing our ciders, and then we also make some food as well.
Again, Richard, my guest today, Richard Yee, is the cider maker, head cider. What's your title?
Yeah, cider maker. Cider maker. I do a little bit of everything, you know. I try my best to help out. When
I understand, no job too great or small, at the Brooklyn Cider House in New Paltz. Check it out. Thanks so much, Richard, for coming on Tasting Tuesdays. We'll do it again. Absolutely. There's way too many others to try, and I know we barely scraped the surface, so please promise you'll come back.
Oh, please. We'll book it now, you know?
Okay. This has been Tasting Tuesdays on the Midday Show, 98.1 KZE.